arts, politics, events, food and dining, health and wellness, and the home, www.chronogram.com.
Master Gardeners are volunteers trained by Cornell Cooperative Extension in the science and art of gardening. The training is provided in exchange for a commitment to volunteer as a Master Gardener. Columbia and Greene counties are offering Master Gardener training this year. Mondays from 9 to 3:30, starting on February 3rd and running through May 5th. Please call us at 622-9820, extension 25. For an application or for more information.
Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal program and employment opportunities.
It's the Schomer Show. Wednesdays from noon to 2. WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. The lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm your host. My name's Ed Furtick, and we have a studio full of some really great people today. First of all, we've got Phil Grant, the great one, working the board here today. Thanks, Phil. He refused to turn his microphone on, but... And we also have State Senator Kathy Marchione and her constituent representative, Lauren Pels, in the studio, who is snapping photos. You don't have to say anything, Lauren, because she's sitting there obediently.
Well, I'll say thanks for having us. We appreciate
being here. Yeah, well, I was just going to say good morning to you, Senator, and you get closer to the microphone.
Okay.
And how are her levels, Phil? Her level's good? We need people to be able to hear her important stuff. So did you have any trouble getting here this morning?
Not at all. Not at all. It was a great trip down.
Yeah, tomorrow it might not have been as good.
Right.
This is like the winter from hell.
It's a cold winter.
Can the state Senate do anything about this?
No, I'm sorry. We don't have that kind of power. We're trying, but we don't have that kind of power to do something about the winter. We're having a problem doing things about Common Core and all of those things. We're having difficulties with
that.
Yeah, so,
I know about that.
Weather is completely out.
Well, we're going to be talking about that. But Senator Marchione is a Republican senator from the 43rd Senate District, which covers all of Columbia County, all of Washington County, part of Washington County, part of Saratoga County, and part of Rensselaer County. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And she is a former Saratoga County clerk, and you've been in public service for 33 years.
I have. I started when I was 12.
Oh, my.
No, I didn't. I'm kidding. Yeah.
I believed you.
Thank you.
You know, I totally believed you.
No, I actually started as the Half Moon Town clerk many years ago. 1980 was I was first elected at 24. and stayed there for a while, went on to be the Half Moon supervisor, and then moved down to the county clerk's office where I stayed for 15 years. And more recently, just last year, was elected as senator 2 years ago.
Yeah.
As a senator.
And you were in a primary battle, weren't you, with what can I say it was a mainstream Republican and you were more conservative. Is that a correct?
No, I think that's correct, yes.
Okay.
And, but they're conservative on a lot of issues, certainly.
Right.
You know, economically, very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And social issues, very conservative as well. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is the right opinion, so it's okay here.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's okay anywhere else, but it's okay here.
No, it's not okay everywhere else. We've heard the governor. It's not okay everywhere
I else. I know.
But it's okay here. Thanks.
Yeah. And I have to say that you are really out there running all over the place. You're very active, as far as I can tell.
Thank you. We really do try. We try to attend as many mm-hmm. events, and we've been on listening tours and holding terrific things like the Golden Gathering here in Columbia County, over 1,000.
We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, we really try
yeah.
to get out there in the community. That's how we know and learn about the community, is to be with people.
That's it. Power to the people. We the people.
Yay.
Okay, I'm getting applause from my large audience here in the studio. Well, let's jump into things here, and I wanted to start off with Common Core. And by the way, I had prepared a question yesterday to ask you about Common Core because I was expecting the Board of Regents to revise Common Core implementation so that it would only affect current fourth graders at the time they were graduating from high school. But evidently that changed in the past 24 hours and they did not do that. But I have an editorial here in the Albany Times Union, and I thought we would kick off the show just reading a portion of that. It's an editorial in Section C titled Chaos Over Common Core. If you lost track of the debate over Common Core standards, here's a recap, as best as we can tell. Parents are upset because their children were being given too many tests, some on material the kids hadn't even been taught. Teachers are upset because the tests could be used to judge their performance and endanger their careers. State legislators say the State Board of Regents better do something or they will. The Regents and Education Commissioner John King, acknowledging the anger created by the Common Core rollout, say course corrections are needed, including easing the testing pressure facing teachers and students and delaying tougher graduation requirements until today's fourth graders are finishing high school. But Governor Cuomo, having just appointed his own commission to look at the issue, accuses the Regents of ignoring parents and students and argues they shouldn't go soft on teacher evaluations or on linking them to testing. The state's largest teachers union, the New York State United Teachers, also says the Regents are wrong and aren't listening to parents and students, but for exactly the opposite reason, as Mr. Cuomo's New York SUT wants a moratorium on high-stakes tests. All clear now? No, not to us either. The real problem here is that so many people are so certain they are the only ones who are right on an issue that could have such devastating consequences for children. It's time for the grown-ups to grow up. It's disappointing that the governor is lambasting the Regents over what strikes us as a thoughtful attempt to address concerns about Common Core without derailing it. And it goes on, but I'm going to stop there. So, Senator Marchione, what is going on with Common Core? Where do you stand on it? What have you been up to in regard to Common Core?
Common Core, as you just read, is all over the board. We meet with various groups from the Teachers Association or the United Teachers Association to educators coming in, to parents who have shared their concerns with us. And it was rolled out so quickly, accepted by the governor. And I think that's where, you know, we, through all of what's happening, we kind of sit back and forget to say the legislature had no say in this. The governor accepted this and sent it down. And the rollout has been horrific. I don't believe that the curriculum has really even been tested. it appears to me that the curriculum is being tested. Our children are the test subjects instead of having a pilot program. I'm hearing from some superintendents, I'm not as concerned about Common Core as I was the rollout of Common Core. I'm hearing from some principals that the curriculum is not what they want to teach to. I'm hearing from others that who is the federal government to send us down how we're supposed to teach our children. That's local decisions. The thing is, as far as I'm concerned, Common Core has been a boondoggle from the very beginning. The rollout has been difficult. But I think what bothers me the most is the devastation that and how it's affecting our kids. You know, I'm hearing from people and from other legislators who have talked with people within their own district stating, my child is cutting themselves. My child is crying. They, as since Common Core has been brought into the schools, my child who loves school doesn't like school any longer. So actions that I've taken, I'm on a bill, number one, that says the data mining, which is more than 400 pieces of information on the family, not just the child, to the point of, do you have guns in your home? Collecting information on data mining. I've been, you know, on a bill that parents have a right to opt out.
Are these active bills?
They're active bills.
What are the names of the bills?
I don't have the bills
okay,
with
that,
me. I
well,
apologize
that's okay,
for that.
But they're active
they're,
bills.
They're absolutely active bills. The Senate has...
You know, I actually had a show that was devoted to Common Core. There was a woman on as a guest named Ann Miller Laval. I don't know if you've heard of her. But she was just a mother of seven. She wasn't a political activist in any way. I mean, she had, you know, attitudes, but she wasn't an activist. And Common Core made her into an activist. And boy, she really works it. But as you go around the community, is the resistance to Common Core, is it a Republican issue or is it a Democrat and Republican issue? Are there...
Oh,
is it across the board?
Absolutely. It's not a partisan issue at all.
Okay.
Not at all. What I was surprised about is when I met with a group of superintendents of schools maybe a couple of months back, their main concern was not Common Core. And we prepped to go into that meeting that it was going to be a Common Core discussion. It was a GEA discussion. It was the gap elimination adjustment restoration that they cared deeply about. And that was surprising to me. We've done a legislative survey with a number of different issues on it to hear from the community and has had an amazing response. We've had about 4,700 of those responses that have come back tagged in my district. I'm going to get the numbers right. It's 53.1% oppose Common Core, 24.3% support it, and 21.1% at this point are undecided or they don't have an opinion on it. But that's pretty, to me,
pretty
overwhelming.
Yeah.
It is. And of course, we have about 2,000 more that are now have come in and they're being logged in. But up until this point, it was pretty impressive to me that Common Core... And you know, you'll talk to some people and they'll tell you, well, it's not really that people are opposed. They just don't understand. I'm not going to buy that people don't understand. People have an opinion. Whether you believe they understand or not, they are.
Yeah.
They are. And I think we need to listen to them. So
yeah, you don't have to understand the minute details of everything. You know, if it feels wrong and it looks wrong, it might be wrong. And you're the best judge of what works for your children. And I don't see why a child in Brooklyn, New York should be educated exactly the same as a child in Butte, Montana. Mm-hmm. They can both get good educations, but they don't have to be the same.
That's right. And it's interesting because you'll talk to some educators, some principals, who will tell you that the standards in Common Core at the younger grades are so aggressive the children aren't developmentally ready to be able to meet those guidelines. But you'll get into ninth grade and believe that the curriculum has been watered down in comparison to what we have, and that our children are not going to be any more prepared. But then you'll talk to others who believe that that is not the way it is. I sat with a math teacher at an event I went to in a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, he loved it. So it depends who you
talk
to.
There are people, and I've met some. Now, before we leave the topic, how does a listener that is concerned about Comic Core, how can, is there a way to get involved? Is there some way they can get involved, or way they can keep tabs on what's going on?
Absolutely. From what we have seen, the various school boards, wherever this people are living, can go right to their school board meetings. There's topic of conversation on Common Core, at least what we're seeing, at almost every meeting.
Wow. Okay. So it is. It remains a big issue in New York. And I kind of feel that the governor, and as I mentioned to you before the show, I actually like worked for him at one point, pretty pragmatic guy, he's always seemed to me to be the kind of person that was concerned about public opinion. And he must know that there's a lot of opposition. This makes me feel that he's really playing to a national audience at this point in his career, and he's not that concerned about local or New York State reaction. He's concerned about national reaction if he wants to be, you know, an attorney general or vice president or something like that. So that's my theory. That's my opinion. And this is the right opinion.
That's right.
And the opinions expressed here are mine and mine of my guests, and in no way represent the opinions of WGXC management, although they might, but...
Well, but. I think that we've seen the governor before, you know, on the SAFE Act. We've seen, you know,
yes, well, that's
at
our
next
topic. We're going to the SAFE Act now. And for those who just tuned in, you're listening to The Right Opinion Show. I'm Ed Furtick, and the guest you've been listening to is State Senator Kathy Marchione. Now, talking about the SAFE Act, which some people like to call the Unsafe Act, which involves restricting our what many people consider to be their Second Amendment rights to bear arms. And this is another issue where the governor has taken a tremendous amount of flack, and activist groups have grown in New York simply because of the SAFE Act. It seems like this governor is creating opposition groups like mushrooms. He says, like, he's giving a certain element of the population like big issues to really hang on to and get angry about. And you actually, correct me if I'm wrong, you actually became a state senator by being very vocal about the SAFE Act. I mean, I think that was a very big issue for you. And
well, that issue actually hit me on the first day of session. Mm-hmm. And one of the pieces on literature that I had done during the campaign is to say, you know, there's additional restrictions coming on your Second Amendment rights. We see it coming. There were some articles that were in the newspaper with the governor, and it just looked like it was coming. And about the first day of session for me is when the governor put out the SAFE Act with
so
a message.
You were already elected.
I was elected then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it became
I was
a huge
incorrect
issue.
About you. Okay. So it was certainly for other reasons. So what is the current status in regard to those who would like to repeal the SAFE Act? What's going on in Albany? What are you personally involved in?
Well, I personally have two pieces of repeal legislation. But we're not really believing that there's a lot of hope in getting that legislation repealed. We'd have to get it, even if we could get it through the Senate, getting it through the Assembly, when there's so, you know, there's so many more Democrats who come from the city who wanted this gun legislation. So our hope, I believe, ultimately is in the court case, is in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, the NRA, joined together for a court case. I actually joined that as a friend of the court and am part of that lawsuit with them, was accepted by the court to join on with them. And the first ruling, of course, says that you can, instead of having 7 bullets, you can have 10 rounds in your gun. You can fill your magazine, your clip, you can actually carry 10. We had that confirmed the other day with the superintendent of police. I asked that question at a public safety meeting that we had on budget hearing, and they said they are not stopping anyone. If you have 10 bullets in your gun, they're not going to stop and search or look. So until, you know, now that ruling has been appealed, it's on the next level. Tom King said he believes who's the president of the Rifle and Pistol Association, he thinks it's a 2-year period to get through the courts as it's going to have to work through. And that's what our hope is.
You know, am I missing something? If you have a magazine with 7 rounds in it and you have another magazine in your pocket with another 7 rounds, that's 14. It only takes 1 second to switch them out. It's like putting a cassette into I'm showing my age, putting a CD in, or not even as hard. So it's really smoke and mirrors, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is.
It's, I think the people that really have no experience with guns think that it all sounds legitimate, but the people who know guns know that this is a joke.
Oh, it doesn't, it absolutely
even
is.
Even if they were for it, it wouldn't make any sense from a technical standpoint.
No, and much of the law doesn't make any sense, whether it's the mental health provisions that the mental health professionals are completely opposed to for keeping people who need help in the shadows and not having them come forward. And the VA hospital, the federal government said, we're not going to adhere to those standards. So the mental health aspect has always been in question. Mm-hmm. The registration, to me, is the most onerous, the most difficult for people to accept. When you have to register your gun that now has been declared an assault weapon, which you and I know is not, you know, no. that definition. Now people know what you have. Now the government knows what you have, and our Second Amendment rights are being infringed upon.
Yes, they are.
We have a right to protect our families. We have a right to protect ourselves from government. That's our Second Amendment right. And people need to just review history somewhat and remember what happens when we are not able to bear arms.
Well, you know what the mainstream media does. If someone uses a gun to kill someone, it's all over the news. If someone, and this happens every day, if someone uses a gun to protect themselves or their family successfully, that is never in the news. And that happens multiple times every day in this country. That does not make the news. You won't hear Cambridge, New York family fights off an armed robber. They don't print those kind of stories.
That's right. And you know, our state is so diverse between the city, New York City, and those of us upstate, that in the city, you have a policeman at every corner. You pick up the phone and you call, and they're there to help you if you're looking at a gun for protection. But if you're in upstate New York, if you're in my district, and you have a problem and you need to protect your family, there could be an accident on the road. There may not be a police officer available. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to protect yourself, right, and your families.
Right. And a scissors isn't always available.
No.
I think who recommended that we have a scissors?
Yeah. Probably the same person who recommends we hide in the closet until we're...
Yes. Oh, that sounds... I'm claustrophobic. I couldn't do that.
Neither could I.
But, okay. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you feel that the Republican Party in New York has sort of gone too passive on fighting the SAFE Act? Or is there some reality that I'm not aware of that is making me unreasonable to say that?
I think that the reality is similar to Common Core. It's not a Republican-Democrat issue. It's a downstate, upstate. Those Republicans who voted in favor of the SAFE Act, for the most part, except for one, are south of Westchester County. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not a Republican-Democrat issue, which I'm kind of astounded that it wouldn't be. But it's an upstate-downstate issue.
Hmm. So am I correct in assuming then that Republicans who are upstate are pretty much in agreement that it's got to go, and they're willing to say so and
absolutely
fight for appeal?
Absolutely, they have been. Many mm-hmm. of them are on the bills that I've sponsored. Mm-hmm. Yes, and you'll see their petitions on their website. You see them talking about talking about their opposition to the SAFE Act. Yes.
Do you have any allies in the Senate or even in the Assembly that you really appreciate that are sort of on your team, so to speak, and you know, you see eye to eye?
Oh, many. Yes, many.
Who do you really admire?
I think Steve McLaughlin has an extreme amount of courage.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy to stand up and fight the way Republicans fight in the Assembly in the minority.
I agree.
Dave DiPietro, Bill Nogue, Mark Butler, Pete Lopez. There's a tremendous amount of courage in the Republican Party in the Assembly to fight the fight all the time for their conservative values. Tom O'Mara in the Senate, Greg Ball, real strong Republican mm-hmm. people.
How do you get along with Dee Dee Barrett? Or do you have any?
I don't really have a lot mm-hmm. of contact with Dee Dee except when we're at events. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I think our ideology is a little different, but where we can work together, and I think the power lines are something that we can work together on. I think that's what elected officials need to do, is work together when we can for the good of the people. If we don't see eye to eye on issues, if we have different philosophies, that's okay. We're elected to go forward on what we believe. But when we can get together, we need to join forces to help the people we represent.
Well, you gave me a great segue. So let's talk about the power line issue, which is about expanding the right of way of these power lines in Columbia County, making the towers themselves larger, carrying more power. What's going on with that? How are you involved with?
We certainly recently attended the meeting that we held in Churchtown, which was well attended by like 200 people on the very snowy day. People
are
very engaged.
It is a big issue in Columbia County.
Very engaged. Yeah. Recently, it has been pushed back at the state level, and that's a very good thing. We'd like them to vacate the entire project mm-hmm. Because we think there are other ways that they should be looking at expanding the power lines by going underground that we don't believe they have looked at. They said expensive, but how expensive? Do some research. And there is one company that is looking at the potential of not having to expand the power lines. So they've pulled back on their project. We understand there's a meeting come up in February 20th, but they've looked at now maybe 2015 and they're reviewing it. And I think that's a very good thing.
You know, it makes me think of the Ashokan, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, reservoir issue in the old days, when a town was basically not evacuated, but they were relocated, an entire town, to create a reservoir, the Ashokan Reservoir. And there's a singer, songwriter in the Hudson Valley, I'm forgetting her name now, who wrote a very powerful song about mm-hmm. how this town gave itself up so that people in New York City could have water. And, you know, you want to help your neighbor, but the power line issue is something that doesn't involve Columbia County itself getting any of the power.
That's exactly right.
And it's best.
In the due diligence of
yeah.
how it can be done with the least impact, we don't believe has been researched yet. And,
mm-hmm.
and so definitely we need to keep on that to make sure that they do what's needed to be done with the best technology that's out there, because there isn't a benefit going into Columbia County. And so that's something else to look at. How can there be a benefit for Columbia County? What could be done to give Columbia County a benefit for doing this?
Well, thanks for those comments. Now, folks, you've been listening to The Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill. And my name's Ed Furtick. I'm the host of The Right Opinion. And our guest today is State Senator Kathy Marchione. And we have here Phil Grant working the board. Phil, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for being here. You made it easier for me. I don't have to get all stressed out pushing buttons and moving switches and everything. So Phil is smiling. He refuses to speak because he did the morning show and he won't speak anymore. I refuse to speak. Anyway, so I do have some announcements we might as well make now. And Senator, I'm going to let you announce the Green Gathering. You can tell the listening audience about that briefly.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah, we last year Golden Gathering, and we're just thrilled. We partner with the Columbia Green College, and it saw over 1,000 seniors with getting flu shots, and we're just very excited about hosting that event for the first time, something Senator Saland had done for 20 years. And this year it is scheduled for October 11th.
October 11th.
2014.
Okay, October 11th, where?
It's going to be at the Columbia Green College.
Okay, folks, write that down. October 11th, Columbia Green College, the 22nd annual Green Gathering. I guess you could go online to the college and find out about that, although I'm not sure.
No, you could. Yeah, you can just contact our office. And we do a lot of publicity as it gets closer.
What is your website?
It's www.kathymarchione.com.
Okay, www.kathymarchione.com. Now, to go on with our announcements, first of all, Zooms is coming up at 11 with Tyson, so don't go away. You want to stay tuned for Zooms. On February 26th, the next show that I'm having, the next episode of The Right Opinion, we have Capital Region radio show personality, conservative talk show host Melody Burns is going to be here as my guest, and she's going to have a lot to say. Melody had been with Talk 1300 Radio out of the Capital Region and now has her own blog talk show called Melody Unleashed. She'll be with us to talk about all kinds of issues like conservative women and politics and who knows where it might go. February 26th, 10 a.m., Melody Burns on The Right Opinion Show. Now, on Monday, tune in around 7:45 a.m., or if you're listening to Phil Grant's morning show, my new show or segment about health and fitness called Soul Train, S-O-L-E, will be on around 7:45 a.m. And then again at 4:15 p.m., it's a health and fitness show called Soul Train. So give it some thought on Monday. Now, I just found out that Columbia County District Attorney now has a website, which could be interesting. ColumbiaCountyDA.us. How do I pronounce that? Chaka? I think I'm pronouncing it correct, but anyway, ColumbiaCountyDA.us. And then on March 12th, Holly Tanner, Columbia County Clerk Holly Tanner, is going to be co-hosting a show with me. That is going to probably be the last day of a fundraising effort. Couldn't think of a better person to have around. Holly stood in for me while I was out on a unsuccessful political bid, and she's co-hosted a few times and been a guest, so that's going to be fun. Ed and Holly on March 12th. Are you listening, Holly? And then WGXC is now celebrating our third anniversary. And on February 23rd, from 1 to 3 p.m., we will be having a party at the Crossroads Brewing Company in Athens. Okay, that is February 23rd from 1 to 3 p.m. Tickets are $10 for adults, $8 for children 12 and under. Now, this is not a fundraising event for the station. This is just a party. What you're paying is for the food. And you can buy tickets at three locations. If I could read the board, the Hudson Studio at 704 Columbia Street, the Catskill Studio at 344 Bain Street, the Wave Farm in here, Phil, go on.
The Wave Farm at the WGXC Acra Studios in 566 Route 23, Spotty Dogs and Ale, Books and Ale at 440 Warren Street in Hudson, and at Crossroads Brewing at 21 Second Street in Athens.
And I knew I would get Phil to talk at some point during the show. Thank you, Phil. Okay, so that's it for our announcements, I think. So let us move on with a break song, because I need to take a little break here. And this is going to be Willie Nelson with Georgia on My Mind.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, and just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, on my mind, on my mind, on my mind. On my mind, on my mind, on my mind, on my mind.
The views expressed by volunteer on-air hosts do not represent or reflect the views of WGXC. WGXE is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXE's on-air dialogue, call 518-828-0290 or email info@wgxe.org.
All right. Well, welcome back to The Right Opinion. Thank you, Willie Nelson, for Georgia on My Mind. And we're going to have more of Willie Nelson to close out the show later. So if you want to hear Willie sing in City of New Orleans, you got to stay with us until the very end, because that is one of his greatest songs ever, in my opinion. All right, enough of that. We're here with State Senator Kathy Marchione, and we're going to be continuing to talk. So let's get going here. How you doing so far?
I'm doing terrific.
You like being on radio?
I do.
You look good on radio.
No, thanks. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
It's fun to be on radio. Can I interrupt you for just a second? And you talked about your anniversary.
You can.
That's coming up, your three-year anniversary. And I just want to add my congratulations to you. And I've brought with me a proclamation that honors the radio channel because of what you've done. You're celebrating 3 years of making hands-on creative community radio in Greene and Columbia counties. And, you know, just talking in the break, talking about how important and how valuable each town within Columbia County is. In the good news, just I want to extend my congratulations to you guys for such a great job, well done, and on your third anniversary, and give you a proclamation from the New York State Senate.
Wow. This is a first. Well, thank you.
This is
beautiful.
Well deserved.
Hey, folks, you should see this. This looks like very official. This looks like I just joined the Navy or something, but this is for the station, and the station deserves it.
Absolutely.
And this is going to be framed and hung up in the common area.
Terrific.
Here. And Terrific. Thank you very much. That's so
absolutely.
That's so kind. Okay. So, Senator, how did you feel when Governor Andrew Cuomo suggested that conservatives like you and I should not be in New York, that we're not welcome here?
I felt that every single person, no matter whether we're conservative or we're very liberal or in between, we have a purpose and we have a right to live in any state in this great nation. I felt that the comments were poorly said, and it angered lots of people like myself. I will tell you that I have seen Governor Cuomo since that comment. He actually took me aside and said, I really didn't say that. I want you to know that I really didn't say that.
Oh, he really did.
And I didn't want to go there. I mean, I thought at least he was talking with me about it. And it was interesting. There was a lot of senators standing around, and he purposely took me aside. So I know that I'm the conservative, you know, and everyone knows that. But he did take me aside. And I just said, well, I'm glad to hear that, Governor, because I like New York. I'm here to stay. And, you know, that's the way it is. Conservative, we're here to represent a group of people who are conservative as we are and work with other people who are not conservative when our ideals can come together.
It seems a little disingenuous, though, because he's pulling aside a state senator who's in a position to help him with his agenda. And you're an important figure in state politics as a state senator. But he didn't apologize to me. You know, he didn't ask the New York Times or the Albany Times Union to print a retraction to apologize to me. But I could see
he didn't apologize to me either. He said he didn't say it. So
there
was a difference. So I didn't get anything more than you did.
That isn't an apology.
He said he didn't say it. I mean, at least he mentioned it to us. But
right.
You know, maybe in his mind he didn't mean how it came out, but we all saw.
Again, it seems like for some reason he throws gasoline on fires, and I feel like he's playing to a larger audience. But that's my opinion anyway. Now, how would you, in about 5 minutes, how would you respond to the governor's State of the State address? Do you have any comments about what you thought of that, which wasn't, but in my opinion, it wasn't really even a state of the state. It was a future projection about things he would do in the future. But how do you feel about it?
Well, I believe that a lot of the projections and the additional monies that are coming in, and now we have a surplus, are they're really not a surplus at this point. It's down the road, maybe. And I hope his crystal ball is right. I hope his figures are right. But I kept sitting there, and I kept thinking, how are we going to pay for this? There was so much in the state of the state. Pre-K was, I think, one of the biggest examples. I mean, pre-K is a terrific idea. How do you pay for it? Now, de Blasio has his ideas of how he's going to pay for it. He's going to tax the rich again and pay for pre-K. But the governor doesn't have that in his plan. And in my district, I have a lot of schools that don't even have full-day kindergarten. So when you look at how do you pay for, you know, how do you pay for pre-K? How do you, and even if the state says, well, I'm going to pay for it, but that's only for 3 years from mm-hmm. what I understand. How do the schools pay for it after that point? They need the GEA filled. That's a critical part. And he put some money in there, but he didn't put enough in there. We need to restore the gap elimination adjustment for our schools so they can provide good education. So there was, you know, things in there that I looked and thought, gee, that's a good idea, or this is a good idea. How are we going to pay for the ideas that, you know, he's talked about? I love the tax cuts. Everybody loves tax cuts, because when you get rid of taxes on businesses, hopefully businesses flourish. You know, I was thrilled at the idea that our disabled veterans, 5% of the contracts, if the plan goes through, can now be provided to businesses that are owned by disabled veterans. I'm thrilled with that, with the statistic on how many of our veterans are out of work. So there were some good things, but a lot of it was just, you know, how do you pay for it?
Yeah. Now, you brought up taxes, and I want to mention as an aside that it's the fifth anniversary of the Tea Party movement is coming up, and the T in Tea Party stands for taxed enough already. Are we taxed enough already in New York?
We are taxed enough already. We're taxed way too much. We still rank 50th as the state in the nation for the worst business climate. And, you know, I can tell you story after story about businesses that won't come here because the taxes are too high. And in the regulations, I mean, I'm the chairman of the Administrative Regulatory Review Commission, and we've been working on regulations to try to get rid of regulations that are onerous to our businesses, keeping our businesses from being successful. And we identified through a series of hearings throughout New York State 2,219 regulations that we now will look at to say, do they go back to the Senate committee to get rid of them? Do we eliminate them? Do we revise them? Or can we just review them for conversation?
Well, I hope the state tax on gasoline gets reviewed. I'm always amused at how federal and state politicians talk about the big evil oil companies and the gas stations as if the government isn't gouging us. I mean, in New York State, I think it's 47 cents a gallon we pay in state tax, plus the federal excise tax, 17 cents. So if you have a 12-gallon tank, what is that, $6 or $7 just for the tax? So how much could you care about us if you're taxing us to death just to get to work?
And I know I don't sit on the Energy Committee, right, but from where I sit, that's one issue that I do not hear discussed a lot.
I know.
You'll hear me discuss it a lot.
So I'm trying. Now, let's skip around a little bit. What's your agenda like the next few days? You want to spend 2 minutes talking about where you're going, what you're doing the next few days, and your aide can jump right in here. You're part of the family, so don't worry. You just sit right down with us.
In order for me to be able to know where I'm going, I got to have my calendar in front of me.
Well, you're a busy person.
Yeah,
Lauren Pels is the constituent rep that's here, and
yeah, she's jumping in front of me.
Analyzing right now.
Today we have a couple of meetings. While I'm in Columbia County, we have a couple of meetings with two supervisors.
Okay.
We're going to be meeting with a supervisor from Taconic, Eric Tyree, and we're going to be meeting with the COPAIC supervisor, Jeff Nayer.
Okay, we're in Taconic. Where is the where is the meeting physically?
At the town hall
in Taconic. At what time?
We have two different times: 12:30 for Taconic.
12:30 for Taconic.
And 1:45
for COPAIC at the town hall.
Yep, and then we're moving on to the Bridge Open House, which is on 364 Warren Street. We're going to be there for that. And that will complete my day here in Columbia County.
Okay. Well, sorry, surprise you with that.
Yeah, thanks.
We gotta full of surprises.
Oh, you know, it's like, where are you going tomorrow? I said, I don't know where I'm going in an hour. Just grab my calendars. We just move out and move around and make sure we get around as much as we possibly can to visit with people.
Well, we got about 5 more minutes until we go to some Willie Nelson as we give Tyson some time to get set up in here because Tyson is coming up with Zooms. Don't go away, folks. That is an interesting show. Tyson's out there working like a busy beaver trying to get ready. Say hello, Tyson. Okay. Anyway, Senator, I want to go to a totally different issue. I consider you you're female.
Yes.
And you're Republican and you're a senator and you're pretty conservative. I mean, conservatives are supposed to hate women. That's what the media says. We hate women.
Yeah,
and
that's
you,
so wrong.
You are a conservative woman. Do you think that the mainstream media, like, either tries to hide prominent conservative women or sort of brutalizes them if they rise to any prominence? Are you feeling that way in New York?
Not at all.
Okay.
I have found the media to be very fair with me.
Okay.
I think they ask tough questions, but I think that that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've given me a fair shake. They invite me to come on the Liz Benjamin show. I'm on the TV, often on the news. I believe that and I think what the news does is when it's a different topic, depending on the opinion perhaps that they would like to get, they may go to that person to gather an opinion. For example, when the governor made the statements on conservatives, they called me. They called Jimmy Tedesco.
Well, that makes sense.
When they're talking about schools, they may call Pat Fahey.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's, you know, that's her thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they pick people whom they can get some good sound bites from, some good opinions from, depending on the topic. But I believe the media has been very fair with me.
Good. I'm glad to hear that because you deserve a fair hearing.
Thank you.
Now let's skip briefly 2 minutes to Mr. Rob Astorino, the county executive of Westchester County. There's talk he might run for governor. What do you think about that?
Supported Rob a couple of years ago. I've been a financial supporter of his along the way. I believe that he and I are on different issues. We stand the same. I think that he would lead New York well. I do think he's a very good candidate, and certainly Donald Trump is still out there as a potential candidate as well. So
yes,
you've got two very good candidates that
evidently
are out there.
Mike Long, who's the chairman of the New York State Conservative Party, has declared that he doesn't think that Donald Trump is seriously considering it. And so he may know something, but I believe that
I actually have been in the room with Trump on two occasions in Trump Towers and visited with Trump. And what Mr. Trump is looking for is he wants the party to be unified.
Mm-hmm.
He wants Chairman Cox to be with him. He wants the Republican chairman throughout New York State to want him. He doesn't want to face a primary. He doesn't want those type of things to occur. He wants to be able to have a unified front. He believes if we're not unified as a Republican Party, and I agree with that, we have much less chance of winning the governor's seat. I mean, Andrew Cuomo has $33 or $34 million and can raise lots more. He's been governor here, and, you know, he's not going to be an easy candidate to beat.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Of course, Palladino has indicated that his machine would throw its support behind Trump. I don't think there would be a primary challenge there. I don't know how Astorino feels about primary with Trump. If that would be tough given Trump's money. But do you think the governor is beatable?
I do,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's an easy lift, but I do believe with what you had talked about previous with the different people breaking off and having concerns, whether it be Common Core, whether it be the SAFE Act, whether it be, whatever the issues, I do think that he is beatable.
Okay, well, You've been listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill. This is The Right Opinion Show. I'm Ed Furtick. I will be back on February 26th with guest Melody Burns. Our guest today has been State Senator Kathy Marchione. She's been a great guest. We are going to ask you to come back at some point in the future because you're a great guest.
I'd love to come back. Thank you.
And thanks again to Phil Grant, who's been engineering the show, and to Lauren Pels for working diligently behind the scenes here. While we're all talking, she's flipping papers, taking photos, using the smartphone. I mean, she's a multitasker.
She's awesome.
You got good people.
I do. Thank you.
All right. So thank you again. And do you have any final word?
I just would like to thank you for having me, and I appreciate the work that you do. Thank you for making sure that the opinion of the conservative person in New York State is heard. So thanks so much, Ed.
All right. Here comes Willie Nelson with the City of New Orleans. We'll see you, folks. Sing it, Willie.
In twilight glow, I see riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors and 25 sacks on mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out at Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name and freight yards full of old black men and the graveyards of the rusted automobile. Good morning. Pass the paper bag that holds the bottle. Feel the wheels rumbling beneath the floor. And the sons of Pullman porters and the sons of engineers ride their father's magic carpet made of steel. Mothers with their babes asleep, rocking to the gentle beat, and the rhythm of the rails is all they feel. Good morning, America, how are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. Halfway home, we'll be there by morning through the Mississippi dark.
darkness rolling down to the sea. But all the towns and people seem to fade into a bad dream. And the steel rails still ain't heard the news. The conductor sings his songs again. The passengers will please refrain. This train has got the disappearing railroad blues.